Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a set of 10 podcasts on the topic of geriatrics. It's from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It covers important topics, including functional decline and frailty, cognitive impairment and dementia, evaluation of cognitively impaired elderly driver, depression in late life, hearing impairment, vision impairment, urinary incontinence, undernutrition, pharmacotherapeutic considerations in the elderly, including pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics, elder abuse and neglect, goals of care and advanced directives, and prognostication. After listening to these 10 podcasts, you should have a solid foundation in geriatrics and should help you provide better care to your senior citizen patients. This chapter is authored by Dr. Jedet Ross, MD, who's professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship and Director of Didactic Activities for Palliative Care and Geriatric Fellows. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and the graduate medical educational levels. The senior author is Dr. Eric Widera, MD, who's professor of clinical medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF. He's also the associate program director for geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational interventions. Multiple choice question. A 68-year-old man is seen in your clinic with increased urgency to urinate over the course of the last year and occasionally loses a few drops of urine on the way to the toilet. He denies any change in his urinary stream, difficulty stopping or starting urination, or sensations of not emptying his bladder completely. On exam, he has a well-defined, symmetric, non-tender prostate, approximately 10 mL in size, with no nodules. Post-void residual is 50 mL. Urine analysis is normal. What is the most appropriate next step? A. Prescribe finasteride. B. Prescribe terazosin. C. Prescribe both finasteride and terazosin. And D. Prescribe tolteridine. And the answer is D. Prescribe tolteridine. The patient's symptoms are most consistent with overactive bladder syndrome without evidence for incomplete bladder emptying. Anticholinergic therapy with medication such as tolteridine is considered an effective therapy for these symptoms, although it should be used with caution in men with elevated post-void residuals. Alpha blockers such as terazosin can provide a reduction in symptoms if his symptoms were more consistent with incomplete bladder emptying due to benign prostatic hypertrophy. 5-alpha reductase inhibitors such as finasteride can also help improve symptoms due to benign prostatic hyperplasia, although the therapeutic benefits are only seen months after initiating treatment. Combined therapy with an alpha blocker and 5-alpha reductase is more efficacious for men with larger prostate glands. urinary incontinence is defined as the involuntary leakage of urine. It is a very common condition affecting 15 to 30% of community dwelling old adults and 60 to 75% of long-term care residents, even though the incidence of urinary incontinence increases with age, it is abnormal at any age. Older adults may not report incontinence to their healthcare providers, so it is important to screen for urinary incontinence by asking patients if they leak urine when they don't want to. Initial evaluation of urinary incontinence includes a good history and physical, a urine analysis, and measurement of post-void residual. Subspecialty referral should be done promptly for sudden onset incontinence, hematuria without infection, previous surgery, or significant anatomical abnormalities. Geriatric urinary incontinence is typically multifactorial and is likely that there is a combination of transient and established causes. In transient causes of urinary incontinence, the cause of incontinence is outside the lower urinary tract and is potentially reversible if treated. Delirious patients are incontinent because they are in a state of confusion and lack the motivation or the cognitive ability required to urinate. Urinary infections in older adults can have a symptomatic urgency and dysuria that the person is unable to reach the restroom on time. Atrophic vaginitis or urethritis are common in elderly women and may be associated with a sense of urgency. There are multiple medications that can lead to urinary incontinence. Some pharmaceuticals lead to urinary retention, like those with anticholinergic properties, calcium channel blockers, and alpha agonists. Other medications like sedative hypnotics and any central nervous system depressant, including alcohol, lead to decreased awareness of need to void and decrease the ability of a person to get to the toilet. Excessive urine output is a common contributor to geriatric urinary incontinence, and the etiology can include medications with diuretic properties, including caffeine, metabolic derangements like polyuria secondary to hyperglycemia, and excessive fluid intake and mobilization of peripheral edema at night as seen with heart failure. Urinary incontinence due to restricted mobility is caused by conditions that make the older adult unable to make it to the toilet on time. Joint problems from arthritis makes it difficult to undress and to walk. Other problems that interfere with the person's ability to walk to the toilet are balance problems and hypotension. Lastly, urinary incontinence may result from blockage produced by stool impaction. Established causes of urinary incontinence. Urge incontinence, such as detrusor overactivity, is caused by an involuntary bladder contraction. Patient reports feeling an abrupt sensation that urination is imminent, followed by leakage prior to reaching the toilet. Stimulus such as running water, washing hands, and cold air can trigger the urge to urinate. Typically, the person will have a gush of small or moderate amount of urine. This is the most common cause of urinary incontinence seen in older adults of both genders. Stress incontinence or urethral incompetence refers to the unintentional leakage of urine that coincides with performing physical activities that increase abdominal pressure, such as bending, lifting, laughing, coughing, or sneezing. The sphincter pelvic muscles which support the bladder and urethra are weakened. When pressure is applied to the abdomen, the sphincter is unable to prevent urine from flowing, and patients have a small urine leakage. Mixed incontinence is diagnosed when urge incontinence and stress incontinence occur together. Overflow incontinence or incomplete bladder emptying is a form of urinary incontinence in which urine is involuntarily released from an overly full bladder. Overflow incontinence occurs when there is either 1. A blockage in the urinary outlet, example enlarged prostate, or 2. The detrusor muscle is weak or unable to empty the bladder normally. Patient reports being unable to start the urine stream or having a weak stream. Post-void dribbling, a sensation of incomplete emptying, and they may push on their lower abdomen in attempt to void more. Treatment of urinary incontinence. Urinary incontinence can be an extremely bothersome problem that can significantly affect the quality of life in older adults. Some adults limit their outing because they are afraid of not having a bathroom readily available, not being able to get to the bathroom on time. Urinary incontinence leads to comorbid conditions like skin breakdown, sleep deprivation, falls, and trauma. Non-pharmacologic intervention for urinary incontinence, bladder training, and pelvic muscle exercises are useful in managing urge, mixed, or stress urinary incontinence. Bladder training consists of emptying the bladder on a regular basis every 2 to 4 hours to maintain the urine volume low and suppressing the urgency to void. Gradually increasing the time interval at which the bladder is emptied can improve bladder capacity. Pelvic muscle exercises like Kegel strengthen the pelvic muscles that support the bladder neck and keep the pelvic muscles in position. Prompted voiding is a strategy used for managing incontinence in cognitively impaired individuals. The patients are asked every 2 hours whether they need to void and escorted to the bathroom if they do. Lifestyle modifications also can improve symptoms of urinary incontinence. This includes attempting to reduce excessive diuresis by avoiding extreme fluid intake, as well as caffeinated beverages or alcohol. Furthermore, weight loss can improve stress urinary incontinence in obese older adults. Lastly, devices like pessaries are useful in managing pelvic floor and cystocele issues seen in stress incontinence. Pharmacologic interventions for treating urge incontinence. Anticholinergic agents such as oxybutynin, tolteridine, darifenacin, solifenacin, trospium, fesoterodine are effective in the treatment of urge incontinence. Oxybutynin and tolteridine have proven efficacy for older patients in controlled trials and are agents of choice for treating older adults. Smooth muscle relaxants, flavoxate, are obsolete medications that are no more effective in managing urinary incontinence than placebo. Tricyclic antidepressants such as imipramine and doxepin are not first choice. However, there is some older controlled data showing their effectiveness for women with coexisting stress urinary incontinence. Pharmacologic interventions for treating outlet obstruction. Alpha blockers, non-selective, doxazin, terazosin, alpha-1 selective, alfa-sozin, and tamsulosin are medications effective in decreasing bladder neck and urethral resistance. Alpha blockers, particularly non-selective, should be judiciously used in older adults because of their cardiovascular effects. 5 alpha reductase inhibitors such as finasteride or dutasteride are effective in reducing the size of the prostate. they can be effective as monotherapy. However, for men with larger prostate glands, combined therapy with an alpha blocker is more efficacious. This podcast is derived from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. Janet Ross, MD, professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She's also the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and graduate medical education levels. Her main interests include advanced communication skills, goals of care, pain management, and management of falls in the elderly. Her clinical activities are based in the South Texas VA healthcare system, where she is a staff physician within the geriatrics department and extended care services. And she is affiliated with the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center. She works in the Geriatrics and Palliative Care Consultation Service and the Geriatrics Clinic. Dr. Eric Widera, MD, is Professor of Clinical Medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at UCSF, that is University of California, San Francisco. He's also the Associate Program Director for Geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational innovations. Dr. Widera accomplishes this through various leadership roles, including Director of the Hospice and Palliative Care Service at San Francisco VA Medical Center, and he's the Program Director for the Geriatric Fellowship at UCSF. He has been the recipient of numerous grants and awards, including a Geriatric Academic Center Award at the Hastings Center Cunniff Dixon Physician Award and the Hartford Foundation as a Center of Excellence Faculty Scholar Award.